Welcome to Discovering Spirit Within. This is Reverend Deborah Phillips coming to you from Spiritual Life Center in Sacramento, California. Today I'm going to talk about a technique I learned in my mid-20s, and it was called Yes, No, and Wait. Now, I was about 25, and I had just started into Unity churches, and I was very new at it all, and I had a lot to learn, and I was still very attached to my 25-year-old girl drama. Now, one day I was on the phone with a friend, and I was going on and on about something in my life. I don't remember what it was. And I'm blathering on and on, and my friend says, Deborah, and I'm blah, blah, blah. And again, she says, Deborah, and I'm blah, 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 blah. And finally, she says, Deborah, and I'm what? She said, there's only three answers. Yes, no, and wait. Well, that set me back on my little dramatic backside. I mean, what do you say to that? I don't even remember what the situation was, but I know that I calmed down and stopped worrying and fretting about whatever was going to happen. That conversation had a huge impact on me. I mean, here I am talking about it almost 50 years later. You know, at first it might seem that thinking in terms of only three answers is limiting, but we can use it as a process to uncover the guidance that we so deeply desire. The original process was pretty simple. If something came easily and smoothly, it was called a yes. If there were difficulties and resistance, it was a no. And if I had no clue at all, it was a wait. And that helped me stay calm in the midst of chaos, and it gave me a way to navigate the many changes and decisions that I was encountering at that time. Now, of course, it wasn't that simple. It turns out that just because something comes easily, it's not always the very best thing for you or even something you want. Yes could be, sure, you can have this or you can do this, but really, do you want it? The clarity comes only after you're up to your elbows in the alligators you thought you wanted. No is not always clear-cut either, because that no might mean yes, but not in the way you thought it was. Wait turns out to be a balancing act of looking at the yeses and the noes, getting still, and waiting for other factors to come into play. So often we're not even aware of what those other factors are. We don't know what we're waiting for. Wait is the biggest challenge because we as humans, we want action. We want it now. We want to know what's going to happen. Through this, I came to understand that yes is not a definite, permanent answer. No is not a permanent, definite answer. Wait is just a big old pot of potential sitting on the front porch or a room where you sit and fidget on uncomfy chairs. So how do we sanely and intelligently walk through the challenges and changes in our lives? We have been through some unprecedented events in the last 3 to 4 years. There's extreme polarization. We had a shutdown. There's racial tensions. We've had forest fires. There's storms happening in parts of the country that are also bigger and more forceful than ever. And, you know, we don't know how it's all going to come out. We all thought that the lockdown was going to last about 3 weeks and off we'd be back to our lives. And here we are 3 years later, still trying to make sense of it. And granted, there was a lot going on and there still is. And it's difficult for us because we want certainty. We want clarity. We want everything to make sense. And of course, we want to feel like we're in control. Now, there is a difference between being in control and feeling like you're in control. We had a conversation about that yesterday in my group, and it was really about, I need to feel in control of my own well-being. That's what's important to me. Not being in control of the people around me, but, you know, if I need to leave the room, I need to be able to leave the room, not just feel like I have to get out of here, but not that kind of control. Obviously, during the pandemic shutdown, I had a lot of time to think about this. And of course, that thinking continues. And I just keep coming back to the realization that we so often ask for and then wait for external circumstances to change. And that's why we get caught up in whether the answer is yes or no. It's like we're waiting for permission from the outside world to move forward. And to some degree, that would be true. But I believe that whatever waiting room you're in now is calling you to look at your life and the world differently. I know that is true for me. So if you think about it, the yes, no, wait method is a way of asking for guidance. We can ask, is this the right thing to do right now? If not, what else can I do? What other approaches are there? See, we're usually looking for a direct, definite solution that not every yes or no will give us, because each answer is only valid in the moment, and the next moment things can change. And the other part of that is when we are looking for a yes or a no, not only are we asking for a definite answer, we usually have a pretty definite idea of what we want. And we're not giving it up to spirit to give us the highest and best answer. We're looking for what we want. Ultimately, though, what we're looking for is direction, or what we call divine guidance. And I love this quote from Eric Butterworth. He says, God's guidance is the immanence of divine mind that is presence in its entirety at every point in space at the same time. So guidance, the clear direction in whatever you may be doing, is always present, and the improved decisions are not to be made, but to be discovered. Divine guidance is never prejudice, a predetermination of what you should do or the way you should go. It will always relate to your ideals at the highest level of your consciousness. Seeking guidance is not waiting for some answer of help from the outside. It is waiting for an intuitive flash and then moving your feet. I just love that. The important decisions are not to be made but discovered. Seeking guidance, waiting for an intuitive flash, and then moving your feet. Those are such important ideas, and they're so useful. Because we can take that to mean that yeses and nos are breadcrumbs. They're signs along the way. Deciding to wait is not giving up. Well, in a way it is, because you give up fighting and allow your imagination and intuition to help you discover your answers. But wait is not sitting dead in the water. Waiting is paddling around, floating until that flash hits, till you catch the current. And sometimes it is a flash. Sometimes it's a slow dawning of, oh, if I did this, then this will happen. And if this happens, then this other thing will follow. And it becomes a matter of being open to inspiration and new ideas, which are building blocks to new ways of doing things and finding answers that one might not expect. Or if you get into the flow of something, you might just, you know, go from one thing to the next, and every little thing that comes along, it gives you another inspiration or another hint, and you just follow it along instead of fighting it and trying to force an answer. You know, there's an old story about God's help that's told many ways. Butterworth has a version of it. It's about a woman who became lost in the woods. And she wandered around for a while and then sat under a tree and had a deep prayer experience, asking God to lead her out of the forest. Later, when she was talking to her friends, she told them that she didn't really believe in prayer. And the friends pointed out that she had indeed gotten out of the forest. And she said, well, yes, but only because that hunter found me and led me out. Well, okay then. Like many people, when she was praying, she was expecting some sparkly supernatural thing to help her. I don't know if she was expecting to be, you know, lifted out and magically set down next to a road. Don't know what she was expecting. And it's interesting that she was looking to an external God to help her, but when the external God help showed up in the form of a hunter, she didn't recognize it. So as long as we look to an external God to solve our problems, we don't grow and we don't move forward, and nothing changes. A good question to ask ourselves is, why do we keep looking for an outside God to answers? Well, think about this. When we want to do something or make a change, we're already limited because we can only work with what we already have, which is what is already in our consciousness. There's another writer, his name is Neville Goddard, and he explains it this way. because creation is already finished. What you desire already exists. It is excluded from view because you can only see the contents of your own consciousness. I'm going to say that again. You can only see the contents of your own consciousness. If it's not in your mind, you can't see it. Waiting and watching is a way to call back that excluded view and restore your full vision. You know, most of us have had the experience of going down a familiar street and then seeing a building you've never spotted before. It's like it was always excluded from your view because you hadn't seen it. It wasn't the part of the contents of your consciousness, but it was always there. It was always there. And once you've seen that building, you can't not see it when you pass by. The outer world has not changed, but your inner world has, because your awareness now includes that building. It is now in your consciousness. With each new idea that you encounter and embrace, small shifts occur within you. If Goddard's correct in saying that your journey from one state of consciousness to another is a psychological one, then we can learn to use the waiting room to great advantage. The advantage is that the waiting room relieves you of the need to control everything that happens. It relieves you of the need to force something to happen. It relieves you of stress that you can relax and become more open. And as you move about adding new ideas and concepts to your consciousness, you can see how the various parts and pieces come together to manifest the highest good in your life. Rather than begging an external God to do your bidding, to change the world, you stand in the present and you plant seeds in your own consciousness. You have the time and the presence of mind to nurture those seeds and allow them to grow into brilliant ideas and solutions. You know, if you pay attention, if you pay close attention, you'll see how life runs in circles. There's the question, then the answer, yes or no or wait. And then the answers come. Then another question forms, and so it goes. It's a cycle. There is a book called The I Ching, and it is a book that some people use for divination to find out what they're supposed to be doing. It is also just very helpful actually it's meant for giving you guidance without telling you what to do. And I dip into it once in a while, and I am by no means an expert at all. Every time I get into it, I have to go, okay, now what does this mean and how does this work? But I want to share something that I have gleaned from it, and it speaks right to this yes, no, wait idea. There are 64 hexagrams in the I Ching. Number 63 is called Jiji, J-I-J-I, which means already fulfilled. The goal is accomplished. It is done. The next one, and the very last hexagram, is Weiji, which means not fulfilled. We start again. Think about it. The succession of events never ends. As one thing ends, another starts. After waxing comes waning. Before fullness comes emptiness. Endings are always beginnings. And this blows the idea of certainty completely out of the water. The I Ching is also very, very big on timing. In fact, timing is everything in this philosophy. And there's a great emphasis on knowing when to advance and when to retreat and when to be still. And oh, goodness, doesn't that sound a lot like yes, no, and wait? The I Ching also says that retreat is a very good thing to do because it gives you the opportunity to regroup and gather your strength. Retreat is not considered a negative in this particular teaching. It's like, I need to back off. I need to take my time. When it is time to advance, you are ready, you are strong, you are focused, you are successful. And so you see, the I Ching has its own waiting room. It's called retreat. You know, the timing thing is hard for us because when we are feeling frustrated and stuck, we want to do something, anything. I got to do something. I got to make this work. I got to change it. We get ourselves so wound up and overwrought when we could be waiting and reading the yeses and nos as they pass through our consciousness. we can't force the world to change. We can only change ourselves. And that happens in increments. And over a period of time, as we introduce our consciousness to new ideas and ways of being, we start to change. We become more open. We start to see answers, and we stop that incessant worrying. We are at peace, and we know that in the right time, in the right space, the right thing will happen. And we use the yeses and nos as breadcrumbs along the way. And we furnish our waiting room with quiet and meditation and with alertness so that when the time comes, when the yes or the no comes, we are there to receive it and do what we need to do with it. And if you are looking to find a new way of being and looking for guidance and looking for guidance in how to create your waiting room, think about the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible. It says that when we try to avoid the waiting room, all is vanity and chasing after wind because we don't stop long enough to find meaning. The waiting room is very important, and it's so important that I actually look at this quote from Ecclesiastes as a user guide. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Our answers come to us in pieces, in waves. Elements have to come together to form just the right conditions in the incubator we call the waiting room. And if you're a patient, your consciousness will open up and you will discover who you are, a bright spark in the mind of God. And when you know who you are, you will live from the inside out. And when you live from the inside out, the waiting room will become your homeroom, the place you go to commune with the One Presence, and you will feel much more secure and safe. And here's the really cool part, is if you become really comfortable with your waiting room, when the answer yes or no comes, you will really recognize it, and then you will be able to say, is this the yes I want? Is this the yes that will work for me? Remembered at the beginning, I was saying that sometimes we get a yes, and then go, oh, I'm not sure that's what I really wanted. If we allow ourselves to spend our time in the waiting room and open up our consciousness and our awareness, then when those answers come, we will understand what they are. If a no comes, we won't go, dang, that's not what I wanted. Well, we might say, dang, I did want that. But when the no comes, it is our opportunity to step back and think about it and say, okay, what does this no mean? Does it mean that I'm completely on the wrong track? Does it mean that I'm just, that there's another way to do it? Does it mean that there's a better way to do it? Or does it mean that there's a whole better solution that I haven't thought of yet? The yes-no-wait method can bring you peace because you aren't always fighting and worrying and all of those other things about what's going to happen. You simply look at the situation as it is and say, where am I? Am I in the yes zone, the no zone, or the wait zone? And if you're in that waiting zone, if you're in the waiting room, there's so much you can do with that. There is so much you can do with that. And I encourage you this week to think about this idea of the yes, the no, and the wait, and make peace with your waiting room. Redecorate it. Hang up some new pictures. Open your mind. Open your heart. I wish you a wonderful, beautiful, answer-filled week. Thank you for listening today. Discovering Spirit Within is produced by Spiritual Life Center. If you enjoyed our discussion and feel inspired to support us, you can go to slcworld.org/donate. And now, until we meet again, deep peace of the running wave to you, deep peace of the flowing air to you, deep peace of the quiet earth to you, deep peace of the shining stars to you, deep peace of the son and daughter of peace to you, and may the joys of the world go with you.